It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I was lucky enough to go. It was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had in sports. And I don't know if there's going to be anything like it ever again. I'll try to get to another big fight like this at some point, but I just don't know if it's going to be like this again, because you had the two worlds colliding and you had everybody that was famous wanting to be at this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to get another fight with LeBron, A-Rod, J-Lo, all the people that are there? I mean, this
Bob
just
Kraft.
I mean, yeah, this transcended everything. Yeah. I mean, this was the thing. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And yes, I sound like a hypocrite because in the beginning I thought it was the dumbest thing ever.
I know you were wailing against this.
But I don't care because I changed my mind. and
Thank
I did
you, Showtime.
I did say, though, to save myself a little bit, I did say, even when I was crushing the fight, if you're there, that'd be pretty cool. That if you actually had a chance.
That.
No, I did. I absolutely did say that. Don't even mess around.
You better thank me, me and that brisket, man.
Yeah. No, it was my idea to kiss his ass. You just did it better.
He was gonna give in and offer his tickets anyway. Brisket or no brisket.
Maybe. Yeah. That brisket made a lot of dreams come true. I'm not just talking about going to the fight. Me eating it. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
So, anyway, I think that most people were satisfied with this. I mean, I certainly was with the experience that I had, but really only one caller earlier was ticked off by it, and he claimed that he bought the fight. But
was it Jero? I think it was Jero.
Yeah, and I've not heard that. Most of the people I've spoken to, and I've talked to a ton of people since then about the fight, they really were satisfied with it, and it was a hell of a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And Connor availed himself very, very well.
Yes.
And he hung in there longer than I thought, and I thought the fight was called at the right time. I've got a ton of respect for both those guys, and Floyd certainly was Floyd Mayweather, letting Connor exhaust himself early on, trying to figure out exactly where he was coming from, and then just pouncing on him.
And he said that was the strategy going in. We're going to see what this guy's working with, figure him out, a little unorthodox, so it's going to take a minute, and that's exactly what occurred, allow him to wear himself out. And Connor connected, as we said in the last hour. Surprised he didn't have more power behind those punches, or maybe Mayweather just has a better chin and was able to withstand what Connor was throwing at him. But Connor used his jab very effectively, keeping Mayweather out of his body. But later on, you saw Mayweather be able to penetrate and get to the body and wear down McGregor. And if it had continued to go on, it would have gotten even uglier.
Yeah, and that's where the two worlds colliding and the discrepancies between the two worlds came out. There's no doubt, because in speaking to boxing fans, they thought that this was the right time for the fight to end. It just felt like that was it. And I totally agreed. Yeah, would I like to see more? Sure. Yeah. I always do, especially when you're paying money to see the fight. Right. Everybody wants to see a little bit more, but that was the time to call the fight. Where the UFC people are saying, you have to be immobile. Totally immobile.
Your nose fight to be has over. To be crooked.
I mean, think about it. I mean, with UFC, a guy hits the canvas, and then you still continue to beat the snot out of him when he's on the ground. Yeah. So
these are boxing rules, folks.
It's a different thing. And I've watched more boxing than I've watched MMA, and I thought that was the right way to go, calling the fight at that moment. And both of the guys at the end of it should have been happy with themselves in more ways than one.
Yeah.
Like the money that they made, it came through. Now, I have not seen the numbers. I keep Googling it. I have not seen it yet. If this did break the Pacquiao-Mayweather pay-per-view buy record.
I heard Saturday that there had been 4 million pay-per-view purchases.
Yeah, well, the record was like 4 point something.
That's million. What I heard.
So
Saturday.
Okay.
Now, I wasn't able to confirm that number, but we were discussing it over on the TV side, and that was the number that was thrown out. There had been pay-per-view buys about 4 million.
I know that they weren't too...
And you were there in the arena. Was it packed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
there were some questions as far as tickets being sold.
There was that. But no, it was packed, but there was like singles here or there that maybe you'd see around. But no, it was absolutely packed. But the thing that people don't understand is like when they're like, oh, the tickets haven't been sold, there's still some tickets out there. Where I was sitting in the section, my ticket, the face value on the ticket was $5,000. Mm-hmm. The tickets in the ringside on the floor were $10,000 face value.
Yeah.
So there's probably a lot of people like, well, you know what? As great as this sounds, I'm not going to buy a $5,000 ticket. I'm going to go into the bar and pay $20 cover charge and sit there and watch it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like there was a... I mean, if the tickets were $200, $300, yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be a handful of tickets that weren't sold. You can't operate under the same thought process with a fight that's got $5,000 and $10,000 face value tickets. So I'm looking up now. I can't.
So it was $99, $100. And if that 4 million number is correct, Mayweather, a lot of his cash is dependent upon the pay-per-view buys as well. So that's where we get that 300 million number that he could possibly reach. And Conor McGregor was guaranteed 30. Mayweather was guaranteed 100 million. Now you factor in the pay-per-view, both of those numbers could grow exponentially.
Yeah, I'm going to a Variety article here that actually came out just a little while ago.
Can you trust Variety?
You sure? Yeah, I think so.
You sure you can trust them? It's not like National Enquirer?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is not. This is on something else. It's about how theaters, some movie theaters put the fight on and earned $2.6 million by just putting it on movie theaters.
Wow.
It's incredible. Yeah, and, you know, people wanted to, and I did at some point, to look for the reasons to say that this thing was going to flop.
Right.
And I thought,
we hadn't seen anything like this before.
Right. And I don't think we'll see it again, by the way, because this was very unique, because you had a superstar in Conor McGregor that became a household name very quickly. And you had a guy in Floyd that is the leader in getting pay-per-view buys. He is someone who is always getting interest and everybody knows who he is, and he's 49-0 going on 50-0.
Mm-hmm.
You had him at 40 years old, so he was not the same, and someone like Conor McGregor is younger and bigger, can hang with him. It's not going to work like that anywhere else, because there's not someone else in boxing right now who is interesting enough to fill the Mayweather role.
Yeah.
And there isn't somebody in the UFC that's going to be able to draw the attention that Conor did. And let's say Conor wants to fight somebody else in boxing,
right?
That's a big name. Like, let's say he fights the winner of Canelo Triple G. You know how long that would last with boxing rules? Like 35 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Triple G would knock him through the T-Mobile Arena roof.
Right, exactly. That's why I say this was a one-off. Conor McGregor needs to go back to and to what he knows, which is UFC. And could someone emerge that could take on the role of a Floyd Mayweather? Sure. But, you know, Conor, will he still maintain the stature that he has currently? And I just don't think he can go in there and take on a guy who's younger than Mayweather was, and who was at the top of his game in the boxing world. I think it'd be a totally different outcome.
Yeah, and I don't want, you know, the last thing that I said to be perceived as any sort of disrespect to Conor McGregor, because he earned more of my respect than I ever thought I was going to give him.
Yeah.
After this, I thought he was great. I thought that he was better than I ever thought he was going to be. And the fact that he hung in as long as he did and as tough as he was, I mean, even Mayweather, at the end of the thing, I mean, I thought it was totally genuine and said, you know, all the right things after the fight. He was totally impressed with the guy. So, but it's just different, man. It's just different. We get a guy who's, you know, in his late 20s who can move faster right. And has better punching power than Conor. It's not going to happen with boxing rules. But the fact that Conor did what he did was great. And, you know, I know that he was saying he's going to knock him out inside of four rounds and all these things that we heard. I mean, it didn't happen, but, you know, he sold the fight. And he is, you know, he's a total showman. And I have not bought a lot of UFC fights. I'm not as into
it. I've never bought one. I've never watched one.
I went to a house once that had one on, mm-hmm. but I never bought one on my own TV.
Yeah.
But I now think that, you know, the next McGregor fight, I want to see him. I mean, because of this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's, I don't know, I'm kind of into him.
So next time you're
going to
be like, go get him, Conor.
No, I'm not going to say
that. Oh, you're not going to say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say it.
You haven't gone that far.
No, I'm not going to. But I mean, he's just fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's
a showman. He definitely.
I mean, the walk that he does.
Those long arms.
Yeah, I mean, just the way he's
the
just.
Smack.
He's just funny. Like, I don't. Like, guys like that. Like Dana White, he couched his statements because he didn't want to compare him to Muhammad Ali. It's not what he was doing.
Yeah.
But he said he has that ability to get many, many people to listen to him and want to know what he's doing, like Muhammad Ali did better than anybody in the world.
Right.
And I agree with that. I mean, he's not Muhammad Ali. He's never going to be Muhammad Ali. But I do agree with the fact that there's very few people in sports that do that mm-hmm. that well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so damn good at anything around a microphone. Yeah, he says some stuff that's a little bit crazy.
He's like The Rock. And when he was in wrestling,
yeah,
the same way you would have more fun watching The Rock talk than you would watching him wrestle. I know I would. And he was such a showman. I'll go back a little further. The late Dusty Rhodes was excellent on the mic. I mean, it was just tremendous to watch Dusty Rhodes do his thing. Another guy who was a showman, and you enjoyed that as much as you did watching him in action.
Yeah, and generally, you know, in wrestling, that's required.
Right.
Right, because it's a TV show more than anything. Like, in boxing, sometimes if you're a great boxer and you're not good with the microphone, you're just not good, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. But yeah, Conor is
every now and then you will find someone who's well-versed in both. You know, not only the action in the ring, but also outside and promoting and selling it, and not only selling the sport, but selling yourself.
Yeah. And I wonder where, you know, this goes from here. I mean, does Showtime and the UFC now, because they dealt with one another, are they more likely to develop a partnership out of this? There was some buzz around that out there. Are they less likely because they don't like the way things were handled? You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it is truly a fascinating thing. But no, the one-off comment is right. I mean, I just don't see this being you know, more of these mashups, if you will. In the future. And Floyd's never going to fight it. He cannot fight
he's
again.
Done.
I mean, and the rumors about the tax stuff, I mean, is he really hurting? I don't think so. I think he's okay.
If he was, I think a girl collection would be collected.
Yeah, right. And he did sell one of his Bugattis, I think, for $2.6 million at auction. But he had three of them.
Yeah, why do you
so
need
you don't need three of them.
Yeah, they just have two.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah, exactly.
But I think that just the fact that he owed the IRS because he filed some extensions, I think, is what I read about it, too, is he just owed the IRS a ton of money.
You know, a lot of people talk about this after the fight, saying that Floyd was in trouble, and I don't know his business affairs, but and you know, I'm not so sure that's why he took the fight. I think he took it definitely for the money. He said that, whether he needed it or not, you know, that's only he can answer that, but that was what enticed him to get back in the ring, was the fact that he had the opportunity to amass almost $300 million.
Yeah, and Canelo Triple G that's coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm actually going to be at this wedding in New Orleans when this is going on.
Which is when is that?
It's September 16th.
Okay.
So I just don't. Yeah, it just sucks. It just sucks.
Don't to the wedding, man.
I can't. No, I absolutely have to go. Because I didn't end up going to the guy's bachelor party. I have to go. He's a close friend of mine. I got to be there. Absolutely have to be there. And I'm not going to not go because I want to watch a boxing.
Why not?
What do you mean? What? It's not what you do.
Yes, it is.
So you mean, you know me. There's not a lot of people I allow into the inner circle, right?
Yes.
I don't want people around. This is a guy who I genuinely, I put him in my wedding party, for crying out loud.
I got you. You got to be there.
I got to be there for his wedding. Yes. Now, am I going to be running around looking for a place that's got the fight?
Yes.
Absolutely.
At the reception?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be, if I got to, well, I mean, it'll probably be, it's an hour earlier in New Orleans. So it'll probably go on somewhere around 11 p.m. I mean, you get enough reception by 11, right? So I could leave.
Thank
the reception
you.
Right. 11, yeah. Go to a bar in a suit and watch this fight. Or I could just buy it. And you know what I'll probably end up doing? Because I'm coming back early Sunday. But then I got to watch football all day. Won't take that long. That's what I'll do. I'll probably buy the fight, record it, then come back on Sunday. Try not to listen to anything. It's impossible in 2017 to do that.
Right, and you're going to get alerts on your phone.
I shut all that stuff off the other day. I don't get anything. I don't get anything but text messages now on the phone.
Oh, okay.
No alerts.
Why?
Because I don't want to be bothered.
Oh, okay.
Phone calls and text messages is the only thing I get on the phone now. That is it. I mean, sometimes it'll take me 20 minutes to find, you know, something out that everybody else knows, but that's okay.
That's okay.
I'll go to Twitter when I want to go to Twitter. I'll find it. But I wonder if this fight is going to make people more likely or less likely to buy Canelo Triple G. Because, all right, you're fired up with a great big atmosphere of the fight. It's so cool. Like, I want to see another one soon, and I have another one soon. Yeah. Or is it like, man, I just spent a ton of money on pay-per-view to watch this. I got to pick one or the other. Like, I'll pick. Because I actually was talking to someone from Showtime who was concerned about that. That said,
that's a Showtime production as well?
No, it's an HBO production. Okay. But they were concerned about how the boxing fan might say, I can't spend close to $200 on fights 3 weeks apart. I got to choose one. I'm going to choose Canelo Triple G because that's more of a boxing match than this.
Right.
So, yeah, I wonder if how they're going to affect one another.
Well, I want to see Triple G. I have yet to see one of his fights as well, so I want to see what
you'll
love
him. I mean, I don't know how I like him against Canelo. I mean, he's probably not going to do his, you know, 5-second knockout like he does with most people, but that's going to be, I mean, two big punchers. That's going to be awesome. That really is going to be, I mean, people are waiting for this fight, and they're right in their primes, these guys. It's going to be amazing. All right, coming up next, a bogus update and one of our favorite TV shows out there, Ballers. We got one of the actors from Ballers, Omar Miller. He plays Charles Green in the show, who's now working in the front office for the fake Dolphins. So he'll join us, and we'll have some fun with him next.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
The man who plays Charles Green on Ballers, Omar Miller, is going to be joining us in studio in just a couple of minutes. I think he's walking in right now. Look at this.
He's coming in right
there
now.
There he is with the Mets hat.
Oh, okay. Man.
Black Swan.
Coming in hot.
We're live here. We're going to get an update.
What's up with you? You got it.
Sit doing? Down and good. Make
What's
yourself comfortable.
I get over there and I'll make my way.
Oh, cool. Dap everybody.
Yeah.
So love, no disrespect.
All right, so we'll get you situated in the meantime. We'll have a sports update with Andrew Bogus before we talk to Omar Miller about his great show and his pretty cool life. Bogus!
Guys, Houston Texans star J.J. Watt has raised almost $300,000 online for Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. His team is in Dallas waiting to find out where they'll play the Cowboys on Thursday. The Cowboys have offered to host their preseason finale. Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict facing a 5-game suspension as a repeat offender for a hit last weekend on KC's Anthony Sherman. Burfict was banned for the first 3 games last season for multiple violations of player safety rules. His appeal hearing is reportedly next week. The Patriots traded for D-lineman Coney Ealy back in March this week, and they released him. The Jets then claimed Ealy off waivers. Rookie DeShone Kizer is the Browns starting QB, and Cowboys starting inside linebacker Anthony Hutchins expected to miss at least 8 weeks for the right knee injury he suffered Saturday against Oakland. On the field last night, Brian Hoyer looking good.
Three receivers left. Hoyer's looking to the middle, throws the slant, juggled, caught, held, touchdown 49ers, Carlos Hyde.
Ted Robinson and Tim Ryan on Niners Radio. Second touchdown pass of the first half from Hoyer. San Francisco led 14-0, 24-10, and 31-17 before losing in Minnesota 32-31. The Seattle Mariners, the first team since the 77 Cubs to commit 5 errors in 1 inning. The Yankees turned them into 6 runs, then a 10-1 victory. The Nats held off the Mets 5-4 to split a doubleheader. The Mets a dramatic 6-5 win in the afternoon.
The 1-0. Breaking ball, hit on the ground, base hit, right center field. Jackson turns second, going to third. The ball overrun in right field by Tyrone. Jackson's being waved home. Cabrera's relay throw to the plate, the slide. He is out at the plate, and the ball game is over. Put it in the books.
Howie Rose on Mets Radio. The Dodgers will bring Clayton Kershaw off the DL to start Friday or Saturday in San Diego. He'll end up missing roughly 5 weeks with that lower back strain. And the U.S. Open begins 11 Eastern this morning. Venus Williams and former men's champ Marin Cilic in action this afternoon in Arthur Ashe Stadium. At night, second-seeded Simona Halep has to face wild card Maria Sharapova. Guys?
We love ballers. If you're not watching ballers, you're nuts because it is so entertaining. It's one of the best sports shows that's ever been made because it is so true to life. They made sure that they made this thing not only entertaining but also very realistic. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the show constantly, so we're very, very excited to welcome in Omar Miller, who plays Charles Green on the show. Omar, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Black Swan in the house.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
This is terrible. I'm like a child. I can't stop watching SportsCenter.
Yeah.
I don't know why you guys have this on TV. It's awesome.
Well, Brian has ADHD, so we need to make sure that there's a bunch of bright lights and stuff.
Computer, TV,
that's what we...
occasional woman walk by.
He needs these stimulations.
I do.
It's my kind of show.
Yeah.
You guys got any more space? You guys got a permanent mic for me?
Well, wait a couple months. You never know in this business. I got to ask you about the casting process with this, because you hear about this show and The Rock's involved. You know that there's going to be a lot of NFL elements because the Dolphins gave their blessing to be able to the franchise be used in the show. When you hear about the show and wanting to be a part of it, was there any concern that it was going to be like super cheesy? Like that stupid ESPN show. What was that ESPN show? The Playmakers or whatever that was. Was there any concern? Like, man, like, is this thing going to be cool or is this thing going to be lame?
Nah, I wasn't concerned without it being lame because, you know, it's HBO. And with that, you get what you pay for. And HBO is usually pretty good about creating high-end content. And especially the people who were involved in the backside of this thing from the guy, the show's creator, Steve Levinson and Mark Wahlberg. You know, Lev is somebody that I played basketball with. He's hyper-competitive. He's also the guy that created Entourage. He's actually one of the producers of Entourage. Sorry, I didn't create it. And I wasn't concerned about it being whack. I was concerned about some other stuff, but it being a cheeseball, cornball show wasn't at the top of the list.
What were you concerned with?
Yeah, exactly.
I was concerned with catching the people's elbow if I didn't if I didn't get along with Dwayne. But you know, but I think it's rounded into something better than it was when it started. I think we've matured as a show, and it seems like people have responded really well to that. You know, to where we're going in the, like, you know, with the journey for the characters.
Well, yeah. he stayed on me about watching it, and mm-hmm. then I finally decided to watch it. I think the first couple episodes I saw on a plane, and then immediately got home and Ben watched the first season. I haven't finished last season. I'm still
I'm on top of everything. I don't miss an episode. He's always lagging behind.
I'm the bigger Ballers fan than he is.
I just need to know.
I like the
you
show.
You need to know that I'm a bigger fan.
I have lived it, Omar.
You like the show. Love the show.
Yeah,
this is what we're dealing with right now.
It brings back some good memories. I'll say that much. Now, as far as on the set, do you guys genuinely like each other? I mean, is there a camaraderie there?
Yeah, for the most part, they put together a really solid cast because my thing is, I had a background in sports, and this thing feels like you're putting together a team. And that's whether you're making a movie, a television show, your radio show, whatever. It's, you know, it's a team. Mm-hmm. So you got to put together the right pieces and the personalities and so on and so forth. And I would say, realistically, we got a pretty solid group of fellas, man. And there's a lot of guys that were actual athletes that literally, the Cat Donovan Carter that plays Vernon Littlefield that plays for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Come on, Spence.
Yeah, exactly.
every show.
I use the weed for the pain medication.
Come on, Spence.
For the emotional pain. And so he's, he was literally fresh off the field from UCLA. He was literally played at UCLA.
Yeah.
John David Washington was on the Rams practice squad for a while. Like, you know, we had real athletes, and I think they bring that team mentality.
Vernon's, what's his sidekick? Is little homie?
Reggie.
Fat Reggie.
Reggie. The little skinny dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, he get on my nerves.
Yeah. That means he's doing his job.
Yeah,
that's how it's written. It's London Brown. Another young dude, great young comedian, actually. You can catch him on stage all over the place. Yeah, London Brown.
Okay.
Gio and Jones with Omar Miller, who is in studio with us, Charles Green, the Black Swan from Ballers.
Black Swan.
Now, the casting, I think, is perfect in this show because you look like an offensive lineman, not in just your body type, but the way like you carry yourself. You look like a former offensive lineman, like walking around, like, you know, sort of maybe like a little bit of a limp because something, you know, you played for a long time. Like you look like that. Did you?
I'm going to tell you something funny. Sometimes people run up on me in the streets and they say, "Hey, man, that really is how you walk." Yes. I really did bust up my knee. It's not. I'm not that good of an actor. It's not character research. I really do need to go get a knee surgery. Thanks a lot for reminding me.
This character needs a limp.
Yeah.
I think he needs a limp.
It's true, though. I mean, it's very distinctive, that walk. I mean, it is. It is funny that people recognize that.
Yeah.
What type of research did you do into this role? Because it's very specific. You know, you've got the player who played for a long time, doesn't know what he's going to do, the life that you had, doesn't know exactly what he's going to do after football, ends up at the car dealership, then in the front office.
Right.
Did you talk to people who went through that? Because I'm sure there's a ton of them that had that same experience.
100%. I mean, in my real life, I hang out with a bunch of athletes, and I'm 38 now, so a lot of the people in my generation are ending their athletic career or have already ended it. Mm-hmm. And I talked to some of my friends. I reached out to players in a variety of sports, and it seemed as though there's a consistent theme that a lot of these guys, their identity is their sport. So then once that identity is taken from you, or you give it up, you surrender it via retirement or injury or whatever it is, you go from being adored and cheered on by millions of people to going home to your wife, which isn't a bad thing. But
especially when it's your
wife. Especially
when it's
Jasmine Simon.
What's her name?
Jasmine Simon. Yeah.
Man, that was the second to last episode, not the one that just ran last night. But, you know, when you're trying to figure out to get the two guys together, Seifert and a coach, and then, you know, she jumps on top of you at that point.
Yeah, those were good scenes, man. Good scenes.
I don't know how you deal with that.
Let me look. I have seen that in a while.
How do you deal with that? I mean, because are you a married guy?
No.
You're not a married guy. So this makes it even worse.
No, I'm going to tell you what makes it worse is that Jazz is actually just got engaged to the guy that plays Seifert in real life. So Dulé and Jazz are engaged. They're going to be married soon.
God. What?
And with that, it's just awkward because Dulé is my man.
No.
There's no voyeurism going on. It's not like we're actually doing any hanky panky or anything.
No, I understand, but still, like, is he like supporting his wife in the scene, and then she like jumps on top of you, and then you're like, "Oh, stop looking at me." I mean, it's got to be terrible.
Yeah, it's all part of the job, though, and this is part of being an actor. It's just great because she's a wonderful scene partner. She's
really
good. Oh, she's tiny. Jazz got to be 5'3".
Oh, okay.
Maybe 5'4".
I'm over her now.
Wow.
What? Yeah. You're over her?
I love her haircut.
What is wrong with you?
She's 5'3".
How are you over her with 5'3"?
That's short.
So what?
What, are you looking for the Amazon?
Yes. Yes. I am.
Man.
But I love that short hair. She got a nice body on. Girl.
Now this is part of his ADHD. We've lost him for the rest of the segment. Yeah. So Omar,
it's over. It's just me and you. Let's focus up.
He's going to be looking at pictures.
Mute his mic. There should be some awkward sounds coming soon. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening in the car with your kids, you may want to mute certain sides of the turn the balance to the right side and avoid the pants
goodness.
And moans.
I'm over her.
So Rashard Mendenhall is a big part of the writing process. Is he around set a lot?
Well, you know what? He was around set the first and second seasons more, but especially the first season, kind of to set the tone. But now he writes, you know, at least one episode a season himself. So he's busy with that, with writing his episode and refining his episode. But he's definitely there, and he's there for the majority of our football stuff, like the actual football drills. And, you know, because like this year we have a guest star who comes in, and he plays a wonderful guy named Chris that comes in, and he's trying to be on the Dolphins. And that's a big portion of whether or not he can help the Dolphins, you know, get over the top.
Right, the running back.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah, that you've got his back.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I forget his name in the show already, but whatever.
Yeah. Now, you say you run in a circle with a lot of athletes.
His name is Kisan Teague on the show.
Are they always clamoring to be on the show?
100%.
Yeah.
I've never had more offers for tickets to sporting events in my life. Hey, man, I'm trying to do a cameo. What's good? Hey, boy, I like what y'all doing on that Ballers, man. You need to put me on. I mean, all kind of dudes. That and it's rough because I hang out with a lot of has-beens. So then I'm like, oh, yeah, come by. You know? It's
you give them the wrong location for the set.
Exactly. I got a dual location. They're shooting Lawlers around the corner.
You are so wrong, man. So when we going to be on?
Exactly. We're not shooting right now, but give me a call in April.
Okay. Listen, anything's possible because Brian gave 15 pounds of brisket to the head of Showtime Sports, and the next thing I know, I was in Vegas for the fight. So
nice.
You like
that
brisket?
That must be some good brisket. We just had a storyline around brisket on Ballers. You'll catch up eventually. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jerk. That's... If you actually watch the show, you'll know that.
I'm busy, dog.
I believe it. Trust me, I know how it goes. I've been running around hustling myself. Right. A lot of stuff going nowadays.
I know you got a lot of stuff. What's this weekend fix? This show you have on Esquire?
Well, the weekend fix was a show that we had. It was a limited run lifestyle and travel show that now I've kind of remixed and made into a show called Advantage Omar.
Okay.
That is for the Tennis Channel. And basically, I eat, drink, and adventure my way through the cities of the Grand Slam tournaments. It's an awesome job.
That's
it's a great opportunity for them.
The best gig possible.
Dave, you need a sidekick or something, don't
man,
you?
Man. And they're all over the world, apparently. So I keep finding them. But we were in Paris for the Roland Garros, for the French Open. We were in London for Wimbledon. Now we're here shooting for the U.S. Open. The episodes start airing on Tuesday on Tennis Channel. So, you know, life is good, man. We're running around. The other night we were at this great event, the City Taste of Tennis event. That was awesome. All the players were out. New York is already popping. It really livens up when the U.S. Open is here.
True.
Taking a break, coming back with more with Omar Miller from Ballers and the Tennis Channel. Geo and Jones across the country. Keep it right here.
Check us out on Facebook at Geo and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Do you think that that's something you'd want to do if you had the experience and the resume to do so, work in a real NFL front office?
You know, I think that if recent history has shown us anything, is that you don't really need much experience to run anything.
What are you talking about? And, I don't get it.
And I feel like I have the competence to be a part of an NFL franchise.
I'd
probably do better as a, you know, MLB front office, but realistically, I see some of the moves these boneheads make, and I'm not overly impressed. You see how many people got hurt in the preseason yesterday?
Yeah but it happens
That's
every
part
year,
of it.
Man. It's just so many players on every team. Someone's going to get hurt. It always happens, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But if you're that someone, you can't. It's not like, oh, yeah, it happens. What can you do?
Right.
It's a different animal when you can't pay your bills.
That's sure. True.
So
well,
I mean,
know that going in.
Right.
Yeah, you do. Me, myself, I probably do better to be a player rep.
You think?
Yeah, yeah. Because
you want to do that. You would want to deal with those knuckleheads.
Some of them you have to babysit. They'll make you look bad. Yeah. Those guys make you look bad sometimes. But that's not even it. I'm into players rep. You catch me down on Figueroa, and I'm gonna be rep players only. Put your pinky finger to the moon. That's a different player I'm talking about representing.
Okay. All right, pimp on.
Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. So get your battery tested for free. I've got a pimp story, actually. I've got a pimp anecdote for you.
You got a pimp story?
Yeah, I do. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices, everything. What's that Bishop something or other, that big pimp?
Don Juan.
Yeah, Bishop Don Juan. Yeah, I saw him in Vegas walking around taking pictures of everybody. Amazing. See that guy in person.
So
yeah.
You went to the fight this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, it was incredible.
How many girls did he have with him?
Seven or eight, yeah. I think. Yeah, seven or eight.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah, you thought he was lying about the brisket, man? Who gave the head?
No, you said he went to Vegas. I didn't know it was this fight in particular. Yeah, they have a lot of fights.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a cool ticket. You're a boxing guy, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to the real fight. I'm playing games with that clown show that you guys watch.
Are you going to see Canelo and Triple G?
Buddy, you know what time it is.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I'm
on HBO Boxing, where they have real fights.
I know.
Even though Steven Espinosa is my man, shout out to Showtime. Actually, Steven, he's hooked me up to a few, actually, of the champs fights.
How great is this guy?
Steven's great.
Yeah.
Big love to Steven Espinosa. He's a cool guy.
He was sitting right in that chair, and he was the guy who made this all happen. It was amazing. Yeah.
He's the one that keeps the balls juggling in the air. He's a very talented man at what he does, because I'm a firm believer there's a lot of smoke and mirrors in that game.
Yeah.
Not just for him, for everybody involved, you know what I mean?
Without a doubt. So you mentioned that baseball front office you'd probably be better at. If you're ranking the sports, are you putting baseball first? Is that your favorite?
For me, yeah, 100%.
And you're a Mets fan?
No.
Okay. I'm not a Mets fan,
but I'm friends with Jeff Wilpon, so I went out to the stadium as one of the things.
Jeff Wilpon has friends?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hold on a second.
I'm one of the remaining few. And I still love him.
How did that happen?
I'm going to tell you how it happened. I was at a Dodgers game, a Dodgers-Mets playoff game 2 years ago when the Mets were going to the World Series, and they smacked the Dodgers up. You guys had that bang-up team, you know, with Daniel Murphy, and all the young studs were pitching well, and nobody was hurt, really. You had Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, all of them. Well, I literally was sitting right behind the Mets dugout, and just by chance, I was sitting next to Jeff. And we were just talking, and they threw me on the Jumbotron, and Jeff was like, man, I think I know you. And we ended up chopping it up. He's actually a really, really cool guy. Really, he's a really cool guy. He just they have a tough luck with their training staff.
You don't know. You're not friends with James Dolan, are you?
I know. I don't want Charles Oakley coming after me. So I'm not.
Because if you were, the interview would have to end right now.
No. Now Dolan was at the fight, so this guy's at the pre-party of the fight, and he's 2 feet from Dolan.
And didn't say nothing.
Nothing.
Exactly.
But
nothing.
Omar, listen, I get invited by Steven Espinosa. It's a nice time. It's before the fight. I don't want my ticket taken away from me. If I go and accost James Dolan, they're going to throw me out of the place.
You could have kept it real.
Yeah. But I kept it real. I would have been sent home.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
What went wrong?
I can't be friends
with Jeff.
Could have
kept it real like Don Juan, man.
If you were a Mets fan, you would not be friends with Jeff Wilpon. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be like that. They're trying.
I'm telling you.
They assembled a monster squad. It just fell apart. I mean, there's only so much they can do about that.
Yeah.
Now, getting rid of the certain pieces, I don't know about that, but I don't, you know.
So when we need Mets tickets, we call you, right? You hook us up.
They're not easy. They're not that hard to find. Let's get real. When we need Mets tickets, they'll let you in. If you sing a song, you sing Meet the Mets at the gate, they'll put you behind the dugout.
If you dance the jig.
Right.
Wow.
They're going to go cardboard cutouts soon just to make it look like people. Listen, I grew up a Mets fan. I love the team. It's been a big part of my life, but they make me hurt inside. Because
you guys should have won the World Series.
Yeah, we weren't the better team then. Kansas City was better.
What else are you working on other than Ballers? You got any other projects? I know you told us about the tennis channel and get to travel the world, eat food and all. That's the show we need to do, man. Just travel and eat. Yeah. I mean, come on.
No.
How they miss us with that?
You know what? I actually do a sports podcast with my brother, and it's something we created in the garage, basically, and now we're on uninterrupted.com on LeBron James's website. It's called The Ozone, Unfair and Partial Sports. So we basically keep it real. We just same kind of thing. You guys have a good time. We have a good time keeping people, you know, engaged and tying in sports and life and society because it's all, you know, interwoven right now. And, I got a movie coming out this fall called Blood Mountain. It's a true story about the only FBI agent in the history of the Bureau to be convicted of murder. Mm. And that stars Jack Houston and Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. So, I'm getting blessed.
It's good to be you.
Yeah, life is good.
Omar Miller of Ballers and many other things in the studio with us across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Tell me something bad about The Rock, because nobody ever says anything bad about Dwayne Johnson. I mean, it's like every person who works with him, oh, he's the nicest guy, he's humble. It's like I'm sick of hearing all these nice things about the guy because it doesn't sound real. Is everything that I hear about this guy true?
Dwayne carries a switchblade. And what happens is he pulls you to the side and threatens you with his cybersecurity team because he can break into your phone. So he's got everybody's naked pictures. So then everybody runs around saying, hey, man, Dwayne's the nicest. Right, Dwayne?
Good. That makes me feel better.
It's all real. He's a consummate professional. He really is, you can't pay me to say anything bad about him because the guy squeezes more out of his 24 hours than anybody that I know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more busy than the president. Yeah. Imagine.
Yeah. Right.
But he's a hard worker and he's generous because he plays his position as the leader, at least on our set, just like you would if you were on a team. You know what I mean? He's the team captain. He sets the tone from top down. He's on time. You're not waiting for him to come out of the trailer. He's prepared. You know, there's no diva activities that I've witnessed, and I just appreciate that because, in the entertainment business, the bigger you get, the more license everybody gives you to act the fool, and he doesn't exercise that license. He doesn't have to flex on anybody, you know what I mean? And that's just a sign of his own security.
And that's good he doesn't have to flex on anybody because he's got a lot to flex.
Exactly. Somebody could get hurt.
Yeah, definitely. So this is, third year?
Third season.
Third season. And you guys feel like you're on a nice little run and this thing could, you know, go for a while?
For sure. I mean, if people like you actually watch, we might actually if you actually supported my show, we might be able to get 6-7 seasons out of this thing. But thank God we're not depending on you.
Every Monday morning, because I get up so damn early to do this show, every Monday after I get home in the afternoon, eat lunch, sit down, and watch it on the DVR. I don't miss it to make you feel better.
We
don't
appreciate
worry about
you.
This schmuck.
But no, I think we're gonna do this for a good long time. People seem to really enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And I mean, the response literally in the street is incredible.
Right. Like, and I think it's very realistic. You don't go over the top. Now, some of the opulence, you know, people may say that's not real, but it is. I mean, some of the things that occur, it's just a trip. And I was like, this stuff actually happens, folks. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe.
Way to go with stuff there.
Yeah.
I can see how hard that was for him.
It was difficult.
We only have like 30 seconds here. So Tennis Channel, people can watch you on the Tennis Channel now. The episodes are airing.
Yeah, then go to tennischannel.com and watch them now. Once you go to tennischannel.com, there's a tab that's a home landing page for Advantage Omar under videos, and you can see the London and Paris episodes. And on this Tuesday, the first episode for the U.S. Open for New York airs.
Beautiful.
Live on television.
This was really a pleasure for me more than him, but this was a big deal, and we wish you the best of luck, and I'll be hitting you up for some HBO boxing tickets in the future because I'm going to make a trend out of this. Omar, thanks for being here.
You better hook up Peter Nelson.
G.O. and Jones. Omar Miller, CBS Sports Radio.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.